And we're here to worship the Lord and to hear His word. This is a wicked and perverse world, isn't it? It's getting wickeder all the time. But we've got this book. We have faith in our hearts. And we believe the Lord. And I think that makes all the difference, doesn't it? We can go through this world with His help. And we can make it. Amen. We can have joy on the inside because we know that the power of God's word and of truth will prevail. That all of this that you see is going to be destroyed by the mighty judgment of God. Amen. I'm looking forward to it. Some might think I'm a little odd and a little strange, but they did before anyway, so I might as well just go for broke. But I'm looking forward to the coming of the Lord. Amen. We are going to be opening our Bibles tonight to the book of Isaiah, the 57th. Chapter. Praise the Lord. 57th chapter of Isaiah. I would appreciate your prayers. My wife and I are flying out at 11 o'clock tomorrow, the Lord willing, out of Madison. We will be at O'Hare at the United Terminal for about an hour and 45 minutes waiting for the next plane. So in that amount of time, I should be able to find the next gate. I'm pretty good. I don't generally get lost. I get a little bewildered sometimes. But anyway, we'd like your prayers because we're going down to try to do a work for the Lord down there. Another thing I'd like to do down there, is, if I can, I understand there's a building in downtown Charlotte, I think it's the tallest building in Charlotte, and they've got some equipment up there that supposedly is interlocked with some satellites and with the HARP program. And I'd like to do a little investigation. I talked to a man from Charlotte who has researched that, and he wants me to call him when I get down there. So we're going to be real busy trying to figure some things out. And my purpose, of course, is to always preach the gospel so that people can be ready for the coming of the Lord. And sometimes you've got to rattle people's cages. I've been told by various ones, not here, but over the course of time, generally when somebody gets mad at me, they'll say, "Why don't you just forget about all the stuff that's going on in the world and the government and all that stuff and just preach, just read the Bible and just talk about that?" And I tell them, well, if I can't relate it, if I can't apply the scripture, what good is it going to do anyone? If we can't shout from the rooftops those things that are done in secret. You see, the devil loves to work in darkness. He has to have darkness to work in. If you turn the light on, if you expose the works of darkness, it will show the need for the gospel. When people see the need and begin to hunger and thirst for a way out, and they're looking for something they can do, and then you give them the gospel, it puts faith in their heart, and that will give them direction. This is an adventure, isn't it? It's a fantastic adventure in trusting Him. Faith. F-A-I-T-H. Think about that. It is a fantastic adventure in trusting Him. Remember, if you just spell faith, you'll remember that. And it is. We are fighting a battle that only God can win. And that's why we need His help every day. Praise the Lord. We're living in a rapidly changing world. And the Bible applies so specifically and beautifully to everything you're going through or ever could go through. And you will find verses in here that will pick you up and strengthen you and give you courage and faith. Amen. And hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. Battles can and will be won. The Bible says in the days when the Antichrist is running wild, as he is today, that the people of God will do exploits. See, we're supposed to be afraid by everyone else's standards. But the Lord has not given us the spirit of fear. Amen. He's given us peace. Isn't that right? Hasn't He given us tranquility, a sound mind, even though everybody says we're crazy? Amen. Let's face it, we live in a world full of doubters, a world full of God haters, people that really don't want anything to do with His kingdom. And it's just as it was in the days of Noah and as it was in the days of Lot. But the Lord always has a remnant people that He is watching over and that He will help. And we will find grace to help in time of need. You can be assured of that. Amen. Crazy things go on, don't they? You know, I was listening to the radio today. You know, this hostage crisis down there in Peru, this problem that they had, they finally broke in there and rescued them. I don't know if you'd heard this or not, but the American hostages that left there, they were immediately met by federal agents, and the first words that they heard were these, and I quote, "You have 30 days to file your income tax. Get cracking." Here they're traumatically, you know, in a hostage situation. Their lives have been interrupted. They're distraught. They didn't know from one day to the next if they'd live or die. And there were other people from other countries there, but the Americans heard those words. "You've got 30 days to file your taxes. Get cracking." If that isn't the nature, that's true. It is a fact. That's exactly what happened. And some people, when I tell them that, they think, "Is that a joke?" It can't be. I told a woman at work that, and she said, "Yeah, sure." I said, "Check it out. That's what happened." If that isn't the nature of the beast, then what is? You won't find any compassion from the devil. I'll guarantee you that right now. But it's amazing the things that happen. And we understand now that Al Gore has found a new love, the Dalai Lama. You know, this guy from Tibet, kind of the Buddhist Pope, you might say. And he won, didn't he win the Nobel Peace Prize a while back? I think he did, yeah. Anyway, Al Gore is following him around like a puppy dog, and so is Hillary Clinton. And he's advising them. Now, what kind of advice does the Dalai Lama give to all of his followers? Give up all your worldly possessions. Give up everything. All your money, your houses, give it all up. Which is interesting because then you've got Al Gore following behind picking it all up. See, this falls right into his way of thinking. And the president has also expressed his interest in dropping in on these sessions that they're having. They're going to be having a series of meetings with the Dalai Lama. He's going to advise them on what course of action to take. And incidentally, he is a human devil, so they seem to find these spiritualists, these weird, far out, way out yonder people, psychics and witches and these occultic advisors. But you know why that is? It's because this is modern day Babylon. And Babylon always had psychic advisors. Nebuchadnezzar had psychic advisors, astrologers, Chaldeans, soothsayers. There's no difference here. It's the same spirit, the same things going on. And you might want to know, too, that Bill Clinton signed a presidential decision directive, number 25. I don't know if you'd heard about that or not. What that states is that in a national emergency, command and control of all U.S. military forces will pass from the president to the Secretary General of the UN. So if there is an emergency large enough, which can easily be manufactured, suddenly Kofi Annan takes over the entire U.S. military. How you like them apples? And Bill Clinton signed it, and it's in force. Anyway, I just wanted to give you something to pray about. As if you needed it. I know there's plenty to pray about, but there are so many things going on, so many awful things happening that it ought to bring us ever closer to the Lord. Don't you think? Huh? Praise God. There are lost souls out there that are floundering around in this mass confusion and don't know the way. If you get a chance, tell them. Reach out and tell them. Amen. Let's look at what the Bible's telling us tonight in Isaiah 57. And I'd like to pray, first of all, that the Lord would be with us in His Word and that He would help us because we need understanding and wisdom. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank Thee, Lord, this night for Thy many blessings, for Thy goodness, Thy greatness, and Thy power. I pray that Thy blessing would be upon Thy people, that Thou wouldst lift them up and strengthen them. Help all of us, O Lord, to reach out to Thee with all the heart, soul, mind, and strength. Without thee, Lord, we can do nothing. We need thy help. We need to be lifted up into heavenly places in Christ Jesus. O Lord, I pray that thou wouldst instill in us great faith, wisdom, and knowledge, and a desire to follow hard after thee. Help us, O Lord, that thy word would be in our hearts, that thou wouldst give us strength from above. I pray that thou wouldst keep us in the way everlasting, that thou wouldst smite the devil and all the forces of darkness. O Lord, have thine own way. Let thy sword be swift. I pray upon the ungodly and upon those that hate thee. I pray, Lord, that thou wouldst guide and direct us now in thy word. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. In the 57th chapter of Isaiah, verse 1, it says, "The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart. And merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness." You will note that the Lord here is calling our attention to a situation, a condition that existed back then in Israel and still exists in our land today. And that is that the righteous perish and people don't care. Merciful men are taken away. And I know why that is. It's because godly people don't fit the system. Did you know that? And the ungodly are always trying to find a way to remove the godly from their presence or from anything that they're trying to do. And I think one of the reasons for that is that people of God become a conscience to the world. And our abstinence from what they do is what bothers them the most. Why is it that the early Christians were thrown to the lions in the Circus Maximus in Rome and were so persecuted unto death and hounded as they were? What for? How come? Why? The reason was not because of what they were doing, but because of what they refused to do. Because of what they refused to go along with. You know, you need to remember that every Christian who was out there as they were about to release those lions, when they threw them out there in Rome, they just drove them out there, and they prayed, and they believed God, but all they had to do to save their lives was walk over to a bust of Caesar that was set up and just bow and acknowledge him as God. Caesar is Lord. Just a little bow, and then they had a little incense thing, that you know, a little bit of Catholic flavor there. But that's all they had to do. And they could walk out free. But they didn't do it. They stayed and were killed. Some were delivered. The Apostle Paul, remember, was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Daniel was not the only one that was in the lion's den. Paul was delivered out of the mouth of the lion too, but many of them were killed. Why? Because they refused to go back on God. They refused to have another God because they knew there's only one and they had to be true to him. So to this very day, if you are hated, it's because of what you refuse to do, not necessarily because of what you are doing. Although they don't like a lot of that either. But the number one reason is you will not conform. You will not fit in. You will not blend in with a religious world. You will not blend in with a system of Antichrist. And that's good. Amen. Because the Bible warned us these days would come, and the Bible tells us to absolutely abstain from all of these things. The religious system, the things they're trying to put upon you, just be true to God. Follow his commandments. You know, I don't have any problem if they came along and they said, "Well, we want to put this little chip in your hand," or "we want to put this mark on you." I would have no problem refusing that. Even if it wasn't necessarily the mark of the beast. I'm not going to let anybody put a mark on my body because the Bible says to make no cuttings or markings in the flesh. All this, you look at the young people today, what do? Punch holes in their ears, punch holes in their nose, punch holes in their eyebrows, punch holes all over their body, and then run rings through them, mutilate the flesh, they're perforated like a pincushion, human voodoo dolls, and it's spiritual. Put tattoos all over their body. It is in defiance of what God said. Make no cuttings in the flesh. Put no markings on your flesh. There's a reason why he said that, because the heathen would do those things. Because when people rebel against God, it's wicked spirits that instill that thought and that desire in people. You know, sometimes you look at people, you say they act like the devil. There's a reason why. They're under his influence. Unclean spirits have entered into them, and they begin to do weird things. You know, we read about this guy in the book of Mark, chapter 5, that they chained up, and he'd just break the chains, and he'd be in the cemeteries, and he'd be howling, and a wild man. Nobody could tame him. You might say, oh, this guy was a basket case. This guy was certainly gets the trophy for being demonized. But then you look at some of the young people out there shaking around and gyrating and screaming, and the rap music and the thrash music and the trash music and everything else. You tell me how that's different. They're under the same influence, the same devils. And you know, when some of these ungodly people die, one of these Hollywood stars, oh, it's all over the news and all over the papers. And they make a big deal out of this person. The Bible says when the righteous man perisheth, no man layeth it to heart. And this verse also tells us to not feel so awful when it happens, because the way God looks at it is they are being taken away from the evil to come. You have to look at all the evil they're going to miss. Amen. And that's the only way you can accept it, the only way you can take it. The Lord does mention that right here. It says, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. It says, he shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. It's not the end for them. They are in a wonderful place that the Lord hath prepared for them. Now, he addresses the world at large. Listen to what he calls these people. But draw near hither, ye sons of the sorceress, the seed of the adulterer and the whore. Against whom do ye sport yourselves? Against whom make ye a wide mouth and draw out the tongue? Are ye not children of transgression, a seed of falsehood? You will note here he's addressing a people that he calls sons of the sorceress. What is a sorcerer? Well, a sorcerer is one who, according to the translating of the word, and you'll find this in the New Testament also, one who used drugs for occult purposes. I think it's interesting to note that these witches and wizards, you see, a male witch is called a wizard, not a warlock. Warlock is a Scotch Gaelic word that means traitor. And the Catholics used to use the word warlock for a man who would leave the Catholic Church and become a Protestant, especially in Scotland. And so they call these men warlocks. It means traitor. In fact, in the tarot deck, the hangman card with the image hanging upside down by one leg, that is the card for traitor, somebody who leaves the craft, who leaves all of that occultism. He would be considered a traitor or a warlock. But anyway, what these people do, they've always done it, they do it to this day, they practice their religion with drugs. And I'm going to tell you something. When you've got a nation as drugged up as this one is, it's a quick, easy step into occultism. Because when you take your mind, will, and emotions and break them down with drugs to the point where you're feeling single, seeing double, and you don't care what happens, things enter in. The resistance is gone. Unclean spirits, devils come along and say, there's another idiot. Go open the door for us. Let's go on in. That's what drugs will do. And of course, that's why in occultism they use drugs to get high, to put them in an altered state of consciousness or euphoria, and that door is wide open to anything that'll want to come in. And that's why their brain goes. It isn't just from, well, it's as Dr. Timothy Leary once said. Of course, he's dead now. He knows better about all of this stuff. But what he said is that when a person uses lysergic acid diethylamide or LSD, they are not hallucinating. They're seeing another world that's really there. That you can't see it. These things that you see, these wild things, exist. But the drug allows you to see it. It creates what he called a bridge in the mind. And that you can cross over to this other realm. Now, isn't that interesting? Especially when you consider that LSD was invented for the CIA by a Swiss chemist. And they have sure used it. And they made sure in the 60s that a lot of people had it. I won't embarrass anybody, but I'm sure I could ask people in here how many of you have ever used LSD, and several hands would go up. Maybe not with these older folks. I never used it. I never used any of those things, marijuana or anything. The Lord kept me from it. And I'm thankful for that. But you know what I was high on? I was no angel. I was high on astrology and numerology and palm reading and occultism and self-hypnosis and all these things. And I had so many unclean spirits working on me that when I was baptized in Jesus' name and I came out of that water, I didn't even realize I was touching the ground. I felt as light as a feather. Because for years I had been weighted down. There's a heaviness to this stuff. And I was weighted down with all of this uncleanness and occultism. But the Lord in His mercy washed it all away. And I was able to destroy all the things that I had done. And I determined at that point I would preach, I would declare, I would do anything I could to warn people and tell the truth and let them know there's an evil, wicked system out there, unseen by the human eye, that we need to be aware of. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And if we'll fight the good fight of faith, we can tear down those bastions of Satan. We can break through those places that he has established. Amen. God's children will do exploits. You believe it? Amen. Jesus looked at Peter one time and said, "Thou art Peter. And upon this rock will I build my church." Now, he wasn't saying he was building a church on Peter. The word Peter means a little pebble, a little stone. But the rock he was speaking of was the faith that Peter had, which was the true identity of Jesus Christ, that he is God. Amen. That's what he built his church on, the true identity of the Almighty God. "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock..." The profession of your faith. "Will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Not even Bill Gates. Oh, boy, he has done more for the Antichrist powers than any one man I can think of with that computer system and work that he has done. Bill Gates. Interesting, it says the gates of hell. Well, I think that may be... Just a play on words, but it kind of fits, doesn't it? Anyway, the Lord spoke to the people here and called them sons of the sorceress. The sorceress, I think it's rather interesting to look at that word sorceress and consider it's female. Consider the fact, it doesn't say sorcerer, but sorceress, female. And the reason being is that the false church, and it's not only the Catholics, it's all of her daughters, are viewed by God as being occultic. That there is sorcery going on. Let me show you something. If you'd hold your page, I want to go to Revelation for just a minute. And see if I can point something out to you I think is rather profound. If you go to Revelation chapter 9, verse 21, well, we can't do that. We need to back up a verse or so. Verse 20. Revelation 9, 20. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils. Do you mean people in the last days would worship devils? Many of them worship devils unawares. And idols of gold, and silver, and brass, and stone, and of wood, which neither can see, nor hear, nor walk. What a waste of time, huh? Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries. There it is. Nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. The four predominant sins of the last days. Murders, sorceries, fornication, and thefts. I'm going to tell you something. There's a whole lot of murdering going on out there. And it's not just in the streets. It's in the abortion clinics. And other places. A lot of murder. Millions of murders every year. Millions. When they give you that murder rate for the big cities, that's not the half of it. That's not a fraction of it. There's a lot of it that is legislated murder. Sorceries? Is there any drug use in this country? Huh? Fornication? Not much of that, though. We have such decent people, you know. People don't fornicate anymore, do they? No, they gave up marriage in favor of fornication. That's what's happened. And I think they've watched too many sitcoms. You know, when you've got, here's the thing, your mind drinks things in every day. And the fact is that you will become what you think about most of the time. You will become that. Whatever your mind, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. When you've got women particularly, and I suppose there's some men involved, but it's mostly women, that sit down hour after hour, day after day, week after week, and watch these soap operas. And it's always somebody jumping in bed with this person and jumping in bed with that person and the other person and the other person. And always some woman jumping in bed with some man, fornicating, and always with some guy named Derek. You know? But always going on. And you watch, you fill your head with this stuff. No wonder the world's become what it is. People start to live this stuff out. The Lord told us to set no evil thing before our eyes. The reason being, when you do, you're going to have to deal with it. You're going to have to digest it in your soul. And of course, with a massive, massive amounts of pornography and all kinds of filth and lewd things going on out there, you can see where fornication has become a major problem. And thefts? People will steal anything that isn't nailed down. There are very few honest people left that if given an opportunity, they wouldn't steal. You know, a while back, I think it was almost a year ago now, I found a wallet. I was in the Amoco station up here on Spring Street, and I went into the washroom, and there on the tank part of the toilet, there was a black wallet laying there. Somebody had left it there, and I at a glance, I could see there was money in it. I opened it up, I could see a $100 bill sticking out, and there were a whole bunch of, there's a lot of money in it. There were credit cards in there, all kinds of things. So I took it over and went to the counter, and I had them call the person, somebody from Illinois. They called the person while I held on to it. Because I know how people are. But you know, I said, there's a lot of money in here. There's over $100 in here. And there were other customers standing there, and they looked at me like I was insane. You know? The look on their faces were, are you nuts? You could take that money and nobody would ever know it. You know, I can honestly tell you, it never even crossed my mind. I didn't even have to fight a battle with that. It wasn't mine. It never for a moment crossed my mind. And we got the wallet back to the guy. He never even said thank you, but that's neither here nor there. He ought to be glad that an honest man found it. Because I'm telling you, there's a whole lot of people would have stuffed that money in their pocket and took off. Yep. Yeah, people are, their mindset is get all you can, any way you can get it. And when you get all you can, then can all you get. You know, just really go for it. And don't worry about who you step on. See, that's the kind of world we live in. This world right now is full of murders, sorceries, fornication, and theft. And the Lord has called us, isn't it wonderful how he's called us out of this? And commanded us to be honest with everybody. There's something good about that. It just feels good. It's wonderful to do the right thing. You start doing the right thing all the time. It just feels so wonderful to be right. And thus to be righteous. When you have that kind of a heart, praise the Lord. Let's go back to Isaiah 57. Now that we understand the world's about had it. We're living in those kind of days. And see, nobody can dispute that. What I'm telling you is true. And a person would have to have their head so far in the sand to deny it that it would be hardly worth pulling their head out of the sand. You know, they're in past the shoulders. But anyway, back to Isaiah 57. The Lord called these people sons of the sorceress because it is a female power. There is a false religious system that always is considered to be female in the scripture. The whore, the harlot, mother of harlots, the false church. And it says the seed of the adulterer and the whore. So who's the adulterer? Who is the adulterer in this case? It says the adulterer and the whore. It doesn't say adulteress now, adulterer. That's the male entity. Who rides on the beast in Revelation? The whore rides on the beast. There is an unclean relationship. Who has committed fornication with the whore? All the kings of the earth, the governments of the earth. Now, I know I'm not supposed to talk about the government, but I am not a 501c3, and we don't have a federal number. And I'll tell you, I'm going to talk about them. And I'm going to tell you what the Bible tells you about them, no more and no less. And that is that this world governmental system has committed fornication with a harlot, a false religious system, an ecumenical system, and it is producing a horrible effect. It is producing spiritual children that are sons of the sorceress. They are brought forth. They are begotten of the beast and the whore. And you've got a wild bunch out there. All right? Did you ever read the papers? Hear the news? What makes these people do this? You know, there was an incident down in was it Tennessee or Kentucky somewhere? I'm sure you've heard of this. There was a family of four that was stopped at a rest stop, and a car pulled up with six young guys in it with guns. They took these people out and shot and killed them, all except the two-year-old survived, but was shot. And for what? This gang stuff. These people are full of devils. And I don't know how you feel about it, but these kind of people need to be taken out of the way. They are products of Illuminism. They are Illuminized people. These gangs are products of Illuminism. You've got to have terror in the streets to warrant martial law. You see? You've got to provide incidents. And when you provide incidents, then you provide the answer, which was your goal all along. The answer being absolute control over people for their own good. See how that works? No peace, no rest. Double, triple, quadruple locks on the door. Your neighborhood becomes a battle zone. There are a lot of places like this. And it's getting worse. Now, I'm not here to try to discourage you. I'm here to try to encourage you that this is a sign that we're just right now at the very door of the Lord's coming. It is not far off. It can't be. All right? Incidentally, they say don't use rest stops unless you absolutely have to, because they have become literal battle zones, places of prostitution, drug dealing, and a lot of violence and killing. There are places along the highways that you should never stop. Just keep going. Find the nearest town. But anyway, and don't worry, the Lord will protect you. But just because the Lord's protecting you, don't go jumping out in front of people saying, ha ha, I'm bulletproof. You know, the Lord's also given us a brain. Most of us. Amen. And we should know. We should be watchful. So, notice verse 4. Against whom do ye sport yourselves? Notice this is all in, this is a game to the world. They can laugh about what they're doing. Whom do ye sport yourself? Against whom make ye a wide mouth and draw out the tongue? What that's referring to there is seductive looks. The wide mouth, you know, this it's hard to describe, but it's this fornicative, seductive, come hither type of a thing. And when they do that, just tell them, go thither. Huh? The sticking out of the tongue was, in the old days, an obscene gesture. We shouldn't let our children do it either. But it was an obscene gesture, very similar to what people do with a certain appendage when they want to emphasize a point. But anyway, it's an awful thing. But it says, are ye not children of transgression, a seed of falsehood? In other words, you were spiritually conceived by evil, by transgression. Now watch this, verse 5. Inflaming yourselves with idols under every green tree, slaying the children in the valleys, under the cliffs of the rocks. Here again, the children slaying. And abortion is exactly that. And are people preoccupied with worship involving trees, even in our day? Green trees? Huh? People say, well, you know, it isn't even December. I shouldn't really talk about this, I suppose, but it's here in the Bible, so bring it up. People say, well, I'm not speaking to the tree. You know, I'm not looking at the tree, talking to the tree or anything. Oh, Tannenbaum, wie treu sind deine Blätter. Huh? That's talking to the tree. Huh? Du grunst nicht nur am Sommerzeit, dann auch im Winter, wenn es schneit. I won't serenade you. I just wanted to illustrate the point that people are singing to a tree, talking to a tree. The devil likes that because it's very reminiscent of people who go under trees and worship the devil. Moloch, Chemosh, and all these different abominable deities that are manufactured by man's device at the inspiration of the devil. False gods and goddesses. And this is what the Lord is coming against here. Isn't it something that all these wicked people who would rip you off, fornicate, do whatever they could, when it gets to be December 25th, suddenly they'll sing these songs and sit around the tree? The mafia does it. Huh? Joyce? Ah, yes. Uh-huh. They do teach this, you know, that every living thing, plants and trees, have spirits. In fact, one teacher was saying that there is scientific evidence that when you cut into a tomato, it screams. Huh? What are you supposed to eat? You know, they've got some reason why you're not... I don't care if a tomato can scream all at once. I'm going to cut into them this summer as soon as I can get them, because I like them. Put a little salt on them and let them scream. Cut the tomato and throw salt on the wound. Huh? Praise God. What idiocy. What lunacy. And that's a very appropriate word, too, because the word lunatic or lunacy comes from those who are out under the moon. What do the witches do? They go out and they draw down the moon. They take the chalice and put the knife, the black-handled killing knife, into the chalice, the atame, and they call down the moon, Queen of Heaven, Queen of Hell, send your aid to the spell. And they chant and they chant and they chant. No wonder they go nuts. They're lunatics. They've been out under the full moon too long. If you see somebody doing that, don't be afraid of, oh, they're going to get me with a spell. They're not going to get you with a spell because God's watching over you. Their spells don't work on you. You look at those people as being incredibly stupid for doing such a thing. And where do they do it? Under the green trees, the groves, with the full moon. They gather always under trees. They like oak trees or they like evergreen trees. Those are the two favorites. And so there they go with all of their star ceremonies. But it's kind of interesting too, because the Masons, the female Masons, if there is such a thing, they only think they are. But Eastern Star, they'll go into a funeral home at midnight after everybody's gone, and they'll make a circle around the casket for a sister in the Eastern Star, and they'll have a star ceremony at midnight. That doesn't sound too Christian to me. But they can try to convince people it is. I know better. Because there's something inside of me that God has put there called discernment, and I can tell when something isn't right. And really, how much discernment does it take to see something like that isn't right? Well, praise the Lord. Inflaming yourselves with idols, under every green tree, slaying the children in the valleys, under the cliffs of the rocks. Among the smooth stones of the stream is thy portion. They are thy lot. Even to them hast thou poured a drink offering. Now watch this. A drink offering. Thou hast offered a meat offering. Now meat here means grain, flour, bread. A meat offering. Should I receive comfort in these? The Lord here is showing you a perfect picture of what is going on in false Christianity. When that priest gets up to say the Mass and he takes that chalice with wine in it and he takes that bread, he claims to have the power which was given him by the Pope through his bishop, that he can change that bread into the body of Christ, that it becomes real flesh of Christ, and that he can change the wine into blood, real blood. Now, if he's going to... And that juice of the grape, the fruit of the vine, is still that. It doesn't become blood. It helps us to remember. The Lord said this, do in remembrance of me. It's a representation. We understand that, don't we? But in Catholicism, they change it over. They claim it's blood. Now, how is that any different than when Anton Zander LaVey gets up in the Church of Satan and brings a cup of blood and drinks it? Well, there is a difference. Anton LaVey is telling the truth. It is blood in there. The priest is lying. It's still wine. So the priest actually has got one extra sin tacked on for lying. Interesting little concept, isn't it? We know it's a representation. We understand that. And we should understand it. But it's amazing what they do. They pour out this drink offering. How many here watched the funeral of John F. Kennedy? Some of us old fogies here. Did you see that? Cardinal Cushing? Remember Cardinal Cushing, personal friend of the Kennedys? Did you see that cardinal with his banana nose? Huh? Sticking, he can't help his anatomy. I'm just saying he had a, you know, he could have drank that with his nose like a straw. But anyway, no, he'd stick his face in that cup. And that was the large chalice, you know, for the high mass. Did you ever see the big chalice that holds a quart, 32 ounces? And he drank it, all of it. I watched him do it. He put his nose in there, Domine Sancta, you know, went through this little thing and drank it. And then when he downed the whole thing, he had the altar boy ring the bell, ding, 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 and somebody came scooting out there and refilled it. And he downed three of them. During the high mass, three quarts of wine. Now, who could stand up after that? He had to be pickled. Pouring out a drink offering. Huh? In a ceremony. And a meat offering, meaning something with bread and something with the wine. All right. Upon a lofty and high mountain hast thou set thy bed, even thither wentest thou up to offer sacrifice. Notice they always have to be up high to offer the sacrifice. They got to be up those steps, you know, on the high altar at St. Peter's. And the Masons, for that matter. Look at these Masonic lodges. Where is the temple room always? Highest level. If it's a three-story building, that temple room is on the third story. If it's a two-story, it's on the second story. If it's a one-story, one of these poor little villages that has a lodge, it'll be right, but it's got to be at the highest point in the building. Upon a lofty and high mountain hast thou set thy bed. Why does he say bed? Because that's where they commit spiritual fornication with the powers of darkness. Thither wentest thou up to offer sacrifice. Behind the doors also, and the posts, Chris Westfall's girlfriend. Hast thou set up thy remembrance, for thou hast discovered thyself to another than me, and art gone up, and hast enlarged thy bed. That's kind of interesting too, isn't it? You know, a number of years ago, they came up with something called a king-size bed. Do you know why that was invented? You really want to know? Now, I'm not trying to incriminate people who have one. Some people just like a lot of room. But the reason it was invented is for more than two people to get into it. Let's put it that way. Because of all this multiple fornicative stuff, you had to have a bigger bed. Who needs it? I mean, is there anybody that's that large that would have to have one of those? Maybe you roll a lot in your sleep. I don't know. They take up a lot of space. They cost a lot of money. The bedding costs a lot of money. I don't know. Maybe some people here have one. I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm just saying that's the reason they were invented. So you could get a number of people in it. It's kind of interesting here that the Lord said, "Thou hast enlarged thy bed and made thee a covenant with them. Thou lovest their bed where thou sawest it." Why? Because that's where the fornication is committed spiritually in this religious system of Antichrist. "And thou wentest to the king with ointment, and didst increase thy perfumes,
and didst send thy messengers far off, and didst debase thyself even unto hell. Wow. Strong language, but how true and appropriate it is. Thou art wearied in the greatness of thy way, yet saidest thou not, there is no hope. Thou hast found the life of thine hand, therefore thou wast not grieved. In other words, they found strength in their error because so many people joined them in it. That's what it's talking about here when it says, thou hast found the life of thine hand, meaning strength. All right? Thou wast not grieved. Why? So many people supported them in error. If there are a couple of people wrong, they're never satisfied to be a couple of people. They want a lot of other people to be wrong with them because then that feels better. Birds of a feather flock together. Huh? And they want support when they're wrong. And they'll go out and try to find it. And of whom hast thou been afraid or feared that thou hast lied and hast not remembered me, nor laid it to thy heart? Have not I held my peace even of old, and thou fearest me not? Notice they totally forget God. They have no fear nor respect for him at all, but instead try to find strength in error in numbers. I will declare thy righteousness and thy works, for they shall not profit thee. What's he saying? I'm going to give you the true picture. Huh? It's all going to come out. When thou criest, let thy companies deliver thee. Now, companies of what? Well, I checked this out, and what it's talking about is the whole host of all their idols. Let your idols help you. Huh? You know, in astrology, they have what they call the 12 houses of the heaven, and you have 12 houses of the heavens, rather, and you have the various planets moving through the system, and they figure out aspects based on angles and what's on the ascendant or rising, what constellation, and all this kind of stuff. Every one of those is an idol. The various planets, Aries or Mars, was worshipped as the god of war. Venus was the god of love, the one who would bring you a fornicating partner. Jupiter was considered the benevolent god. He was the big wheel, you see. Kind of interesting, too, because now the scientists have come out and they have said that there is positively life on Europa, one of the moons of Jupiter, because they concluded because there is water there. And therefore, since there's water there, they're absolutely certain there's life there. Now, that takes a real scientific mind to come up with that kind of a hypothesis, doesn't it? Oh, we know there's... They said those were their words. I pulled that off the internet. They said, we are certain there is life on Europa, one of Jupiter's moons, because there's water there. I don't care if there's ketchup there. That doesn't mean anything. You know, if you're going to draw conclusions like that, here, let me give you one. Did you know that ice cream causes drowning? Did you know that? Statistics will tell you that when the sale of ice cream goes up, there are more drownings. So we got to get rid of that nasty ice cream. Or could it be that it's because the weather is hot? And people eat more ice cream when it's hot, and people swim more when it's hot. Huh? Oh, they can play all kinds of games. And you know, the sad thing is they're fooling people. The Lord said, when thou criest, let thy companies deliver thee. But the wind shall carry them all away. Vanity shall take them. But he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain. There's your answer. What's it going to be? The idiocy and lunacy of the world with a lot of friends? Hey, with those kind of friends, you don't need any enemies either. Huh? Or will it be walking with the Lord? You may be an oddball. You may be different. But the Lord acknowledges you. He's the true judge of what's right and what's wrong. And shall say, cast ye up, cast ye up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. And that's what he does when he gives us discernment. We don't stumble anymore. For thus saith the High and the Lofty One. How many? One. That inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. A contrite and humble spirit. To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. For I will not contend forever, neither will I be always wroth. For the spirit should fail before me, and the souls which I have made. For the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth, and smote him. I hid me, and was wroth. And he went on frowardly in the way of his heart. Froward means backslidden. It means going the wrong way. You can go to or fro, toward or froward. And this means to go away from God. That the people that should know better go backwards. Not all of them, but too many of them. I have seen his ways and will heal him. Isn't that beautiful? You wonder about people that are having trouble. The Lord is ready to heal and to help. I have seen his ways and will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. Well, who are his mourners? Did you ever mourn over someone who's gone the wrong way? Huh? Does it ever get you right here? I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him that is far off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. We have such a wonderful Savior who's so willing to make everything right again. Don't stop praying for people because, and don't even stop mourning for them as long as they're off where they shouldn't be, because there's hope. There's hope until time runs out. There's hope. There's not much time, but there is hope. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest. Have you ever been out on water like that? Ever been out on a boat where it started getting pretty rough? I've never been in a storm. Anybody been in a storm at sea? I'm just curious. Oh. Huh? Okay. I was in some pretty choppy water already, but never really a storm, and that was bad enough for me. That was plenty. But the point here is that there is a sea of human beings, a sea of humanity, a troubled sea, it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. Notice that there's a churning, frothing sea, a troubled sea. The Lord is saying that is humanity today. That's what's going on out there. A troubled sea. And what is it casting up? All kinds of dirt and trouble and problems. The human sea. The Lord says, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. There's no peace. You know, they talk about having peace. They talk about having peace over in Bosnia and peace over in the Israeli state. And peace all over in the world, that the UN was formed to ensure everlasting peace. But it says in the charter there was never to be any mention of God or Jesus Christ, ever. But they want peace. They don't want the Prince of Peace, but they want peace. The fact is, the rulers, the leaders, don't really want peace. They want the turmoil until such a time as they think they can rise up and destroy Christianity and atheism or nihilism at the same time, and then bring forth what they call the pure doctrine of Lucifer. Those were the words of Dr. Albert Pike in a letter that he wrote to Giuseppe Mazzini. That letter is still in existence, by the way. That was their plan, and it still is. And they have been bringing that forth decade after decade until the final stages of it are right now, and we live during this troubled time. The Lord said, the sea of humanity is a troubled sea. It cannot rest. But he said to his people, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you, but my peace I leave with you. The UN doesn't work, hasn't worked, never will work. Nothing that man does in defiance of God ever will last or endure. But you can rejoice tonight. We're not a part of that. We have dissociated ourselves from the world. Didn't he say, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, touch not the unclean thing? Amen. I've got no use for the devil, or for his government, or for any of his puppets, or anything he's doing. My master, my Lord, my Savior is in heaven. And he's also wherever his people gather. He's here tonight. If you think of it that way, it's a beautiful thought. He is with us. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. For wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Shall we stand as we bring this to a close? I hope something in this chapter has helped you. I did my very best with this, prayed and sought the Lord, and I wanted to bring this forth in a way that it would really bring you something substantial. If I can make any kind of apology at all, I'm sehr müde, very tired from all this preparation for the trip, and I don't know if that showed or not. It probably did. But I hope something was said tonight that would be a blessing to you. And as I said, keep us in prayer, because we need all the strength we can get. And I will likewise, as I do every day, pray for all of you by name. And God bless you. Shall we have a word of prayer and sing a chorus? Father in heaven, we are thankful tonight that we could gather here and hear thy word, thy admonition, and the warning that thou hast given us. We know there's peace available to us, O Lord, that we can be right with thee and that we don't have to worry about this world. I pray, Lord, that thou wouldst put that in our hearts and give us the assurance and the faith and the strength that we need. Now I pray, Lord, that thou wouldst bless thy people exceedingly. Keep them, O Lord, from all the powers of darkness. Let thy name be exalted. I pray that thou wouldst lead, guide, and direct us in the Holy Ghost. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus and through the power of thy saving blood, praying that thou wouldst smite the enemy and that the enemy would have no power over us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.